Okay. Perek Lamed, chapter 30, Lamed Ches on top, 135 at the bottom. Okay, the last thing, the Perek Lamed happens to be a remarkable Perek, by the way. It's a very personal Perek for everybody. Okay, the Alter Rebbe explained in Chof Tes, the log's too thick, chop it up, and then the fire of the Neshama can catch onto it. And he says, it shouldn't bring you to the depression. On the contrary, in 1 second you can become who knows what. Okay, now the Alter Rebbe is going to say in Perek Lamed a remarkable concept of how a person could be humble in compared to anybody else. It says like this. A person has to put to his heart, means, you know, resolve in his mind, like it says, the kaimaim result to fulfill what the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, have shva ruach befnei kol ha'adam, to be humble in front of every person. Okay? And when the Mishnah says you should be humble, the Mishnah is not saying, yes, say I'm humble, but you don't mean it. He's talking, have be'emes lamite, to be honestly, truthfully humble, b'fnei kol ha'adam mamish, in the presence of every single person, afilu b'fnei kal shebekalim, even in the presence of the lowest of the low. So the question is, how can a person honestly, sincerely, truthfully, be humble in the presence of a lowlife? Okay? You know that you're more religious than them, you're more learned than them, you're better personality than them. How can the Torah demand b'fnei kol ha'adam? And it's interesting, here in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe adds the word ha'adam with the hey, and the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says b'fnei kol adam. And ha'adam, the Rebbe explains many times based on the Tosfos and Yavamis, that the word ha'adam means even goyim. Adam means Jews, ha'adam means even goyim. That means you have to be humble in the presence of everybody. How could that be?
Because you say, if I was in their
circumstances. No, one second. This is based on what Chazal say, do not judge your friend until you're in his place. Okay? Now, what's this expression that Rebbe is going to explain? What does it mean to come to his place? It's a funny expression. Don't judge another person, period. What do you mean until you come to his place? Because it's possible, Dr. Rebbe says, his place, his environment, is what's causing him to sin. Because his livelihood is going in the marketplace a whole day. Sitting in the corners. And his eyes see all the temptations and all the desires and all the low of the world. And the eye sees, and then Alev Chemed, the heart wants. The Yitzri Bayar, and his heart is burning within him. Ketaner Bayar Ma'ufa, like a baker's red hot oven. Like it says in Hosea, Hu Bayar Ka'esh Lahava, he's burning like a flaming fire. In other words, he says like this, it could be, this person is sinning because his place is conducive to sin. He's in the marketplace. He's not like he says, Mashen kemid ha'ilach b'shuk ma'at, a person who goes in the marketplace rarely. And the whole day he's sitting in the house. Of course he's not going to see the marketplace, the temptations of the world. Right? If you sit home all day, you're a yeshiva boy that's supposed to be sitting in yeshiva all day, you're not going to see Melrose and all the other crazy streets that are all around the country.
Now you have internet.
Yeah, I know. The Gamini says, and also, im heilech kol hayom b'shuk, even if you do go whole time in the street, yochaliyah shel einam mechumim kol kach, he's not such a passionate person that has a yetzahara that's burning for certain temptations. Kein hayotzer shave b'chol nefesh, because the yetzahara is different by every single person. Yashi yitzrei, some people have a yetzahara, that's this type of thing, another type of, you know, some people like food, some people like this, some people like money, some people, everybody has a different yetzahara. Which, by the way, explains the famous hayem yem that the Rebbe writes, that when two Jews meet, it's two yetzahara against one yetzahara. So the question is, why isn't two against two? A person has Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara. So if it's me and you, you have Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Tov, I have Yetzer Hara. Why isn't it two against two? So the answer is very simple. Your Yetzer Tov doesn't want what my Yetzer Tov wants. Your Yetzer Hara doesn't want what my Yetzer Hara wants. You have this desire, I have this desire. But all the Yetzer Tovs have the same desire, to be close to Hashem, to do mitzvahs. So when two people meet, both Yetzer Tovs gang up on each individual Yetzer Hara. Because your Yetzer Hara is not their Yetzer Hara. So it's a different Yetzer Hara. So it's two Yetzer Tovs ganging up on yours, and it's two Yetzer Tovs ganging up on theirs. And that's what he says. Nobody has the same Yetzer Hara. So he says like this. Don't judge a person until you're in their place, because it's possible, and this is what the Mishnah is saying, it's possible that his environment is causing him to sin. The person goes around the whole day, and he's a passionate person, you know, so he's very prone to sin. V'hine ba'emes, I want to learn a little bit more and we'll explain this. V'hine ba'emes, gami shemuchumim betivei, even a person who's extremely passionate, upanasas elias meyeshrei kranes kol hayom, and he sits in the corners the whole day, ein leshum esnatzus achatov, he doesn't have an excuse for his sins. Umikre Rasha, and he's called a Rasha Gamur, al shein pachad alekim leneged einav, that he doesn't fear God. Why? I'm going to say three more, and then I'll explain this. Ki ha'yilei lesapik, he should have controlled himself. V'lim shel aruach taivase shebelibe, he still could have controlled himself on the evil temptations because of the fear of Hashem. Hareya komaisa, that sees all his actions, because the mind controls the heart. It says like this. The person who sins, between the person and Hashem, there's no justification to sin. In other words, somebody can't come to Hashem, and this is contradictory, by the way, to the whole cultural belief of today's judiciary system and the world at large. I'll give you an example. You know that kid and the mother running away in Texas? Okay. Why was the kid on probation instead for killing people? Why was he on probation only? Because he was born so rich, and his parents, listen to this, the defense that got away in the judiciary system in the United States of America in the 21st century. And then they caught the kid. How did he get off? The defense was, he was so filthy rich, his parents boiled him rotten, he didn't know the difference between right and wrong. So he killed people. He didn't know the difference between right and wrong. Right. Listen to that. And the defense got him off that he only got probation. Okay, this is the cultural system. I'll tell you, it goes more than that. Just spoiled rotten. Yeah. You know, you're so chassidic, you don't listen to the news. What can I tell you? Affluenza.
I didn't know what affluenza was.
Okay. Okay, shh. Let's not get carried away. Today.
Every table says something.
Telephone. What the secular system, and Torah says it's completely different. Secular system is like this. A person is born with tendencies. The gay rights say it, people say it, b'chol. So there are people that are born, and the psychologists come and prove it, that this person was born with a tendency to steal. You know, the kill, to steal, this is, come on, you don't listen to the... So, because the person is born with a tendency to steal, you have to be lenient on them when they steal, because it's really not their fault. This is what they say. A person born a tendency to kill, you have to go easy on them, because after all, it's not their fault. They're born with that. This is what the secular judiciary system of America says.
How do you know who's born with that tendency?
They have therapists that are paid a lot of money, and they say what's good to say, and this is what they say. Now, the Alter Rebbe is saying over here, the truth of the matter is, even though you're a passionate person, meaning you have a tendency to be sinful, and your business is in the streets a whole day, that doesn't justify your act of sinning. That's what Alter Rebbe says. Because you should have had fear of God. You could have controlled your heart because Meir Shalta love, because the mind controls the heart. The mind controls the heart, so even though. Which means like this. As far as the person themselves go, they have no justification to sin, because if Hashem gave him the temptation, Hashem gave him the strength to overcome the temptation. Okay, because the mind controls the heart. As far as somebody else looking at that person, they need to say like this. I'm going to paraphrase this whole concept of what the Alter Rebbe is saying over here. I'll paraphrase it in a different way first. You come over to a non-firm person, you know? Kiruv is called, Kiruv. You go to a person who has a store open on Shabbos. Right? You go to him, you say, you have to keep Shabbos. You have to close on Shabbos. And you tell Parnasa, comes from God, you have to close the store on Shabbos. They're in the retail business, where 70% of the business of the week is on Shabbos. Nevertheless, you come to demand from a person, you have to close on Shabbos, and God will provide. That's what you tell people, right? Everybody tells that. So the Alter Rebbe is saying over here like this. Okay, don't have the test of a store being open on Shabbos, because you don't have a store, right? So you don't have that test. But you do have issues where you do have a test. You have issues in your own life where you do have a test. Not opening a store, maybe. Not eating treif. But there are other issues in your life that you have a difficulty keeping, and it's a test for you. So Alter Rebbe says like this. Are you demanding from yourself the same self-sacrifice? In other words, are you demanding from yourself in your issues the same self-sacrifice that you're demanding from that person to lose 70% of his business? And Alter Rebbe said, probably not. So why are you judging them? Number one, Alter Rebbe says, you don't know how you would be in their shoes, in their place. You don't know if you'd be any better. Right? You're a yeshiva bachi. You're sitting in the walls of your building a whole day, and you're not out there in the marketplace. Right? People down there see everything, hear everything, everything's going on. But number one, so think to yourself two things out there. Number one, how do you know you would pass the test if you would be in their shoes? Number one. And then the Alter Rebbe is going to say even more. In your issues, where you do have tests, are you demanding from yourself the same level of self-sacrifice that you would be demanding, that you're demanding from the other person? And until the answer is yes, you have no right to judge anybody else. The Gemara tells a story. There was a Jewish king by the name of Menashe that made the Jews worship idols. So Gemara tells a story. The famous Ravashi, one who compiled the Gemara, one of the compilers of the Gemara, when he finished learning one day, he told his students in a very derogatory way, tomorrow we're going to learn about Menashe. But he said in a very derogatory way. So the Gemara says, that night, Ravashi had a dream. Menashe came to him in a dream and said to him, who in the world do you think you are, making fun of me like that? He said, if you would have lived in my time, Menashe said to Ravashi, you would have lived in my time, you would have taken the corner of your coat, and you would have run to worship idols. You would have run to worship idols. So who are you to knock me? If you'd be when I was alive, if you'd be around when I was, you'd be worse than me. So that's the first thing that Alter Rebbe says. Do you know how you would be in his place? Maybe his place is causing him to behave the way he does. Right? And therefore, who are you to judge? And then the Alter Rebbe is going to say even more. And for sure you shouldn't be judging, because you're not demanding from yourself what you're demanding from the other person.
Well, one second. If he did it himself, okay. But he made others sin, Menashe. So he did it himself, he had a tie, and he couldn't run.
Menashe would have done that too, he said. He would have done the worst than him. What?
So
lesson is not to judge.
There's a Mishnah that says in Pirkei Avos, Alti don yechidi, shein don yechidi ala echad. Simply means, even though technically one person can act as a judge in the court, but is, don't judge alone because only God can judge alone. But commentaries in the Mishnah say, Alti don yechidi, don't judge any individual. Shein don yechidi ala echad, the only one who could judge an individual is God. Because God knows what's going on. God knows what your environment is. God knows what your tests are, what your difficulties are, what your challenges are. Do anybody know, does anybody know everybody else's challenges? Nobody knows.
Can we judge Yashka?
What's the difference? Torah judged him already. Why do I need to judge him? Well, just a replay of the Torah. Torah judged him. Let Torah decide what he is.
Regarding this situation on Shabbos being open, I guess we could say it in a delicate way. Or
that doesn't mean you shouldn't tell the person to close. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
but don't be judgmental.
Whatever they decide, it's like not for me.
When you hear people's backgrounds and you hear people's problems, listen. Any teacher in any school that's dealing with kids, or even any rabbi teachers that deal with adults, okay, when you hear their background and you hear where they're coming from and what they're in and what their peckle, the load that God gave them, it's a whole different story of being judgmental to people. It's very easy to, that's what the Mishnah says over here. Don't be judgmental. And that's another way that a person, in order to break the thick log, right, that the light of the neshama should catch on to the person. The Alter Rebbe is saying, don't be judgmental. Because judgmental means, I'm better than you, because I judged you, and I decided you're no good. That's what judgmental basically, if you translate judgmental, it means, when you tell someone, don't be judgmental, trust me, you're not judging them better than you. Then the people are not going to say, don't be judgmental. Okay? Don't be judgmental means you're judging the person worse than you. Which, by the way, is part of the ego trip. But as we told, and sure I told it a few times, there's a story when the Rebbe Rashab and the Razo were little kids. The Razo was older. And the Rebbe Rashab was younger. But the Razo was shorter. And it bothered him that his younger brother was taller. They're little kids. It bothered him that his younger brother was taller, because he was older and he was shorter. So one day they're playing, so the Raza dug a hole in the ground, made his brother stand in the hole, and he was on the sidewalk, so he was taller. Understand? Brilliant. The problem was, their father, the Rebbe Rashab, saw the game. And he called him the Raza. And he's a phenomenal thing. He said, you don't make yourself greater by putting somebody else down. You want to get taller? Stand on something higher. You stand on something higher. You don't become greater by knocking somebody else. Human nature, in the psychological world of human nature, the reason why we knock people, why do I have to knock you? You be me. Why do I have to knock you? Because then I'm better than you. Then I'm better than you. So Chassidus says, the Rebbe Rashab said, you don't become greater by putting somebody else down. You want to become greater, elevate yourself. Make yourself greater. Don't be judgmental of somebody else. If anything, the judgment has to be in a that you're judging him and say, you know what? I don't even know how I would be in those days. You know, I tell you the truth, I have friends from Yeshiva time, they say, you know, if we had the internet in our days, we would probably be worse than these kids today. And you know, they might not be wrong. Do we know? We don't know. Huh?
We don't know.
We don't know. That's what I'm saying. If we added that, we would be worse. Very possible. So how can you judge if you're not in the place? That doesn't mean you shouldn't have pity on the person and be makad of them and teach them, but judgmental means I'm basically putting them down because I'm better than them. Or else, just think about, what do I gain by putting you down? Think about, what do I gain by putting you down? The answer is, I gain because in my mind, I'm better than you. Right? A person that needs to prove that he's better is not so IAI. And he says, the eighth line from the top, it's a very strong battle. The Alter Rebbe says the guy doesn't have justification for sinning because the mind is supposed to control that. And the Alter Rebbe says the truth is it's taka milchama gedela v'atzuma. It's a very powerful thing. Lishbar ayetzah, to break a yetzah hara which is burning, ke'esh lahava, like a burning fire, mipnei pachad Hashem, because of the fear of Hashem, to break the burning sensation out of fear of Hashem, it's mamish nisayin. It's mamish a test. It's a difficult challenge. Hilkach. Tzarech, and this is what the second point that I meant, it made before. The Alter Rebbe says, Tzarech kol adam lefi mashuhu mekaymi madrigasi b'avedas Hashem. Every person on their own personal level of serving Hashem has to make lishkol uvelifchim ba'atzmi, to make this judgment within himself. Imuhu eved Hashem, am I serving Hashem? Am I demanding for myself the same battle that I'm demanding from the other person to close on Shabbos or to be spiritually great in the marketplace? Am I doing in positive? He's going to say negative and positive. In other words, am I demanding for myself the same level of Mesiras Nefesh and test that I'm demanding from the person that I'm putting down? And obviously the answer is you're not. Because if you would, then you would never put anybody down. If you knew what you were, you know, one of the things they say about the Rebbe, everybody says, none of the secretaries ever heard the Rebbe say a bad word about anybody. And trust me, he had what? There was plenty of what to say. They never heard the Rebbe say a bad word about anybody else. Because a person who knows who they are doesn't need to make themselves greater by putting somebody else down. What's so funny?
Did the Rebbe say something about Shach? Publicly, actually.
Never about the person, about what they said.
Yeah.
That's the whole Paraklamid base. The Rebbe never spoke bad about a person. The Rebbe spoke bad about what they said. You love the person, you hate what they do, or what they say, or what they think. There's a fundamental difference between saying something bad about a person. The only mashal that everybody can understand, when your kids do something wrong, you want to kill them. You hate what they do. You don't hate them.
Right. True.
Even though you want to kill them.
Yeah. He said, if I didn't love you, I would kill you.
Right. It's true, though. The bottom line is, it's true. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he says, for instance, Aseitev, Kagain, Bavedis HaTfilim, are you demanding yourself and davening the same self-sacrifice you're demanding that person in his business? You don't have an issue with business, but you have an issue with davening. Are you lishbech nafshei lifnei Hashem? Are you pouring out your soul before Hashem? B'chol keichi mamish, with all your strength, ad mitzi anefesh, until the mamish, the impression of the soul, you know, the like he says, exhaustion of the soul. Lilochim em gufei v'nefesh habamis, and to fight and to battle with your body and nefesh abama shabai hamainim kavana, that stop your kavana. Are you fighting with your yetzahara with the same intensity that you're demanding from the person that you're judging? Ulevacham, to break them, lechatzim, to chak them up, kofet, about your own yetzahara. Kedem tefillah shachris v'arvis before shachris and mairiv. Midayim b'yayim, meaning day and night. That's why he says shachris and abris. The gam b'shasa tefila, he says, even during davening, the ageya atzmei, do you make an effort, be yigias nefesh, be yigias bus with body and soul, they can explain later. And he says, v'chol shalei yigili de midazu, if you didn't reach this level, to fight with your body, to daven, adayin le yigil b'chinas v'erech mochamah, say, you don't even come close to the battle that this guy has with his yetzahara, li is nichna v'nishpa mipnei pachar Hashem, to be broken. He says, reality, you're not demanding the same self-sacrifice in your, okay, not negativity, but in your positive actions that you do, there's no way you're demanding anything close to what you're judgmental about in the other person. And therefore the Gemara says, or the Mishnah says, k'sheit atzmacha, first evaluate yourself, and then you can evaluate someone. Or like Dalt Rebbe said to the Hillel Parcher when he was hiding under the bed, a young man that has a question in the tractate of evaluation should first self-evaluate himself. And the Rebbe explains, that's not a story that happened, a cute thing of the Rebbe says, before you have an ability to make an evaluation of anybody else, first evaluate yourself. And why is Rebbe saying all this? Because this is what brings the person to the level of bittul. If the neshama is not catching on because the log is too thick, so when a person makes a self-evaluation, especially when they compare themselves to all the people they're criticizing, and instead you criticize yourself in the level, again, he's saying not that you're not doing davening, but you're not davening with the same intensity you should be davening, he says that level is worse than the guy with the Yetzirah who sees everything. And therefore you can't judge. And that's the way that Rebbe says that you could be a shval ruach b'fnei kol ha'adam, how you could be humble in front of every single person, no matter who the person is. Even the lowest of the low, where you don't know what their tests are, what their challenges are, and that, you have no right to say anything. Until you're in their place. And see how you act by being in the place. It's like, Head Shliach once told me, it's very easy not to sit on the chair and to criticize. Sit on the chair and then you'll talk. You know what I mean? It's very easy to criticize the president or whatever. No, this one's very easy to criticize. Yeah. But sit on the chair and you see how much better you're gonna do. That's the point. Okay.